The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus entered Capernaum, a centurion approached him and appealed to him, saying, "Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, suffering dreadfully." He said to him, "I will come and cure him." The centurion said in reply, "Lord, I am not worthy to have you enter under my roof. Only say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man subject to authority, with soldiers subject to me. And I say to one, 'Go,' and he goes, and to another, 'Come here,' and he comes, and to my slave, 'Do this,' and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed, and said to those following him, "Amen, I say to you, in no one in Israel have I found such faith. I say to you, many will come from the east and the west, and will recline with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob at the banquet in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom will be driven out into the outer darkness, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth." And Jesus said to the centurion, "You may go. As you have believed, let it be done for you." And at that very hour, his servant was healed. Jesus entered the house of Peter and saw his mother-in-law lying in bed with a fever. He touched her hand, the fever left her, and she rose and waited on him. When it was evening, they brought him many who were possessed by demons, and he drove out the spirits by a word and cured all the sick, to fulfill what had been said by Isaiah the prophet, "He took away our infirmities and bore our diseases." The Gospel of the Lord. So much in this passage in front of us, but I think it's worth our while to focus on one particular aspect, and that is faith. Here, Jesus encounters a Gentile. Let me take it back a step, because the whole of Matthew's gospel is seen, perhaps is an emblem in this passage and the one that immediately precedes it. So in the one that immediately precedes it, Jesus cures a leper. And this particular person is a man of the house of Israel. He's an Israelite. And we've seen already in the gospel that Jesus has come to the house of Israel to renew and restore according to God's original plan and purpose for his people. So this is right after the Sermon on the Mount, where we've just heard that Jesus is one who speaks with authority, his own authority, the authority of God, not as the scribes and Pharisees do, who need to come up with arguments based on witnesses and people who have commented on the text over the course of many years. Jesus speaks as one having authority even over the texts themselves. He comes off of the Mount, the Sermon on the Mount, and now he is showing us what this teaching looks like in practice. It's not just that we have here the authority, and now Jesus' authority, so teaching authority and the putting into practice authority, but also now he's giving us some sense of what this all looks like, and it's a renewal movement. So we see then Jesus heals the leper, he's restoring the house of Israel, and now a Gentile commander, someone who whose life is oriented to the suppression or the oppression of the Israelites, but who comes to Jesus. Jesus doesn't go to him. He comes to Jesus, and we witness then the inbreaking of the kingdom also in the world outside of Israel. This is the gospel, that Jesus has come to restore the house of Israel so that these people can be a light, right, alive with God's love, so that they can bring it out to the entire world. Israel is meant to be a city set on a hill. We take up that vocation, which is why it's important to see that movement. But we're seeing here faith. And it's not, in our world, faith is just, I kind of believe in something out there, believe in God, there's something greater than than us. I mean, there are a lot of people out there. It's hard to believe this at times, but there are a lot of people out there who believe in something greater than themselves. So I don't know what that means. I know what that means in as much as you experience yourself to be a limited person. There's no way to make sense of the world. How did the universe come into being? Okay, so you've backed me into a corner. I've got to say that I believe in something that's bigger than me. I guess we should be thankful that people say that, even though probably most people don't live like that, because we've made ourselves gods. The entire world revolves around us. We live in a very, very selfish time where everything is referred to the self. But people still have this deep-seated intuition that there's something greater than them. Jesus doesn't care about that faith. That's not the faith where we're going, some obscure, amorphous, fit into any situation kind of faith. Faith in Jesus as the one who has authority. Faith in Jesus as the embodiment of Yahweh, the embodiment of the God of Israel. The fact that God has taken flesh in this particular person, this is why he finds it so remarkable. I haven't found this faith in anybody else, except for this Gentile, this guy that you probably don't like because he's opposing your agenda. This guy knows that I have the authority over unclean spirits and over sickness and over infirmities. That guy trusts that I can do that, that I can do this. Even to the extent that, no, you don't have to come. Just say it. You don't have to come and see him. Just say the word, and he'll be healed. So the question for us is whether or not we have this faith, whether or not we have this really radical trust in Jesus. We know who he is. We know who he is. He's revealed God to us, a God who takes away our infirmities and bears our diseases. And bearing our diseases and suffering under the weight, the consequences of our sins, he rises from the dead that we might also share in this new life via baptism and confession, which we obviously celebrate every Saturday. But here, Jesus, we come to him trusting that he can heal us. And we say this great little prayer every time now we come to Mass. Right? Lord, I'm not worthy to have you enter under my roof, but only say the word and my soul shall be healed. We have to put that confidence, we say it, but our hearts also have to be engaged on that point, that we put our faith and our hope and our trust in Jesus. He can do it. He can transform our lives. And transforming our lives, we turn them over to him, he can transform the world.